We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
To play some simple melody.
Sure, here's a simple melody.
Musical demon, set your honey a dreamin', won't you play me some rag?
Sure, here's some rag. Ladies and gentlemen, music appreciators of all ages, it is my pleasure to introduce a young keyboard virtuoso who plays simple melodies, rag, classical, boogie-woogie, jazz, and just about everything else in between. You may or may not be familiar with him, pun intended, but I assure you that you will be amazed and astounded with what you are about to hear during this show. His story is so fascinating, it may just inspire some of you to take out your old books of boring scales and give them a second chance, because, well, who knows? You're going to hear ivories who are so happy and lucky to be tickled by this gentleman, who I shall now bring on with a hearty drum roll. Welcome, Johnny May.
Thanks, Ronnie. What a nice intro. It's great to be here.
Gee, I rehearsed that for about 10 hours. The song that you were playing during the latter part of that intro, Maple Leaf Rag, written by the great Scott Joplin. Is it true that he never did any recordings, but simply did piano rolls?
That's right.
Boy, what he missed.
Yeah.
But then again, he did a pretty good job on the piano rolls. That song, Maple Leaf Rag, that is on YouTube, by the way. We're going to talk about your YouTube videos. You got a whole boodle of YouTube videos. And a couple of people commented, oh, he played it too fast.
Yeah.
What is the deal with Maple Leaf Rag? Did Scott write it to be played much slower than that, and others kind of picked up on it and started speeding it up, and that became the accepted way? Or maybe to purists, it's not. How do you feel about that?
Well, Scott Joplin wrote on all the sheet music, do not play fast. I mean, I think people were speeding the music up because, you know, ragtime music is so fun to play fast. But I think people were playing it fast, and he didn't like that. So he put do not play fast. However, if you play the original, not audio recordings, but on the player pianos, if you listen to the tempo, because that does retain the original tempo, he actually played it pretty quickly. And if you compare the speed of my performance, they're pretty close, actually. So, you know, some people are literalists with music. They want to, you know, they do it, you know, the tempo is 112. And, you know, if you do it 116, it's too fast. But I tend to be one who maybe disregards more of the, you know, dynamics or those types of markings to make it my own. And I love playing, you know, some ragtime, I actually don't enjoy fast, like the Entertainer. To me, the Entertainer has to be, ba-da-da-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to kind of sit there. But then you get like Maple Leaf Rag, where that really sparkles at a faster tempo.
Yeah, I like it fast.
Yeah,
cannot play it nearly as fast as you.
Yeah.
But I do like it fast. Now we're going to get to the official part of the interview, and of course we're going to be interspersing it with many of your recordings. Most of what people are going to hear today, Johnny, is on YouTube. How many videos do you have on YouTube?
I've got 77 videos.
77 videos. What a lucky number. Jonathan May is your formal name, but Johnny May, to those who are nice to you. Jonathan, if you're nasty, as Janet Jackson would say. Where are you from?
I'm from California, born in Torrance, grew up in Riverside, kind of out in the cow country, you know, not a big entertainment location. And then I moved to Orange County, pretty close to L.A.
You started playing piano at a very young age.
Yeah, I started classical piano lessons when I was 4, and I started with my aunt. I'm one of 8 kids, and it was part of the routine, you know, you turn 4 and you take piano lessons. And so we all sort of had to do it, you know. We sort of begrudgingly, you know, went and, you know, practiced our Hannon scales and stuff. But I didn't really like it as a kid, the lesson.
Oh,
the
lesson.
I didn't like the practice.
You're going to tell me that you did not like those boring scales?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Did you get any pressure from your parents? You got to play the scales. You got to do it. You got to do it. We don't care if you don't like it or not. You got to do it anyway.
Sure. Oh yeah. They really worked it. They had the whole reward system. They had the whole punishment system. You know.
Whoa. How did they punish you?
Oh, you know, taking away like video game privileges. I was a huge Super Nintendo. You know, I played it for hours. I mean, I wasted hundreds, thousands of hours.
A lot of time when you're practicing the piano in those days. You couldn't wait to get done with the practicing so you can go to the Nintendo games.
Exactly.
I understand. Exactly. Tell me a little bit about your granddad, Walter May.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for asking. My grandparents were extremely musical. My grandfather was sort of a prodigy. He was pretty brilliant. He graduated college when he was like 17, I believe. He won the Fulbright Scholarship to study at the Paris Conservatory of Music. He was very young. It was a highly prestigious scholarship. He went on in his career. He was the chairman of music at several universities. He was a brilliant musician. I mean, he played violin, he played keyboard, organ, he conducted. He played in the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, which is pretty amazing. And then my grandmother, she went to Juilliard. She played cello, piano, organ, and they had 7 kids. And all of the kids are musical. I have an uncle who is a composer, and he composes for IMAX films. He writes the score for them and produces. I have another uncle who plays upright bass, so very, very musical.
You had 7 siblings, as you mentioned. Did every one of them play musical instruments?
Yes.
As a child, you spent a lot of time listening to music from Bach to Beethoven to Miles Davis and Bill Evans.
Yep.
That's quite a spectrum there. So you started studying classical piano. Some of the material that you sent me mentioned a lady named Elizabeth Beck. Was she your first piano teacher?
Yeah, that's my aunt. I did 10 years of pretty serious classical piano lessons. I did all the Bach festivals and the Certificate of Merit. I competed and I placed several times in that. I did really well. I studied with her until I was 14. And then basically at that age, I transitioned into jazz, blues, old-time piano, ragtime. I studied with 2 new teachers who really, really influenced me.
Which we're going to mention in just a moment, but during those first formative years, so to speak, for 10 years, were you completely playing classical? Were you doing any pop music at the time on your own?
Well, I loved pop music. I would do it sort of in the after hours. You know, I'd sit down and I'd do my, you know, 30 minutes playing classical music, Bach, of course. And then when my lesson was over, I used to have a kitchen timer that I'd sit on the piano and it would, you know, ding when I was done. And I loved that ding. Then I'd sit down and I would play stuff I heard on the radio. I'd play pop music.
Right.
I'd play Beatles, you know.
Well, that means that you were playing by ear, partly, right? You taught yourself by ear? So in other words, the piano lessons were pretty much, I would assume, sight reading.
Right. Yeah, it was like mostly reading music. You know, there was like classical theory. It was like reading music. And the way I play piano, I approach it very much as a composer, as an improviser. So I generally don't like music in front of me. I want to make it myself.
At the age of 13, you met a piano player from Disneyland. Johnny Hodges, I believe his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And you started, how do I know all this? I'm brilliant, right?
Yeah.
You started studying a lot of different styles, not just classical now. You started getting into ragtime, boogie-woogie, honky-tonk. There's another gentleman. His name is Professor Larry Flahive?
Flahive.
Okay, I did that perfectly. Professor Larry Flahive. By age 15, did you become the piano player for the University of California Riverside Jazz Big Band?
Mm-hmm.
It was you. That's very impressive. And you started playing at local restaurants, making some money?
Yep. I got a gig when I was 16. My very first gig was at a restaurant called Joe's Bar and Grill. It was basically like a friend of ours who had like a car auto repair shop, and he started this grill. And so he knew I played piano. He said, hey, come play keyboard at my restaurant, and I'll pay you $50 for a couple hours and give you dinner for free. So that was it. That was my first gig.
Now is a good time to let people have a sampling of your piano playing. One of the intriguing videos that I found on YouTube was a ragtime selection called Wake Me Up, and you did a great acting job in that too, because at the beginning of the video you're, I guess, asleep. Somebody woke you up?
Yep.
And what can you tell me about Wake Me Up? Is that a famous ragtime selection?
So that song was made very popular on the radio, but it was actually made famous by a singer, Allo Blanc, I think his name is, and Avicii, who is like a producer, kind of a DJ, took that song and kind of altered it, put a beat, cool beat behind it, and then basically it went huge on the radio. My brother-in-law and business partner, Yannick Lambrecht, he runs Piano with Johnny with me, he came up to me and said, hey, you should do this as a ragtime piece. And I listened to it, and I thought, this would work as a ragtime, so I arranged it, and it went huge. I mean, people loved it.
Wake up, Johnny. Wake Me Up, Johnny May. I didn't even tell people who I am. They don't even know. My name is Ronathan Allen. Well, listen, if you're going to be Jonathan May, I got to be formal like you. I got to be Ronathan Allen. It's a pleasure to be talking to you, Johnny. You know, it occurred to me, there probably are some of our listeners who are either celebrating a birthday right now or will be celebrating a birthday shortly. So how about a little happy birthday song? Here, I'll help you out. A one and a two. What did we just hear?
That's in a Latin style. I call that Latin samba.
And if you want to do it differently, my philosophy about that is you should just let it go, meaning that your feelings should be just what you feel like doing. Speaking of which, I did say let it go. What can you tell me about Let It Go? This is another YouTube video, I believe.
Yeah, I recorded that in 2014, and that was a Disney huge hit for Frozen.
Yes.
And I heard it, and I thought, you know, I got to do something special. I took a different approach with it. The Let It Go song, everyone knows the intro. Everyone plays it that way. And I thought, you know, I'm going to make it really magical. I'm going to just go explosive on this and go over the top, make it a big, huge pop arrangement. So I did this crazy classical pop arrangement of Let It Go, and we decided to do it like a flash mob. Huh. And we said, hey, why don't we do it live? We'll do it in front of an audience, and no one will expect it. And so we went to the Orange Circle in Orange, California, and we literally brought a generator because there was no power. I mean, we didn't get permission. That, you know, I looked up all the laws on busking. Technically this is busking, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we set up a generator, and I planted my keyboard, and there were just people walking around. I said, hey, oh, actually, I just started playing, and people, you know, gathered. And then we hit record, and, you know, it was real. We had two cameras, and it went great. I mean, that video has almost 1 million views. now on YouTube?
Right now, I'm going to play it, and we're going to get 1 million listens, I hope.
Hey, who's that guy in the background?
Here we go.
What you're hearing in this show, including that one, are on YouTube and are actual performance videos. And we're not necessarily doing this show in any sort of a chronological order. Some of them are chronological, but we're going to skip back and forth. And with that in mind, we have a relatively recent one that you did. It's a change of pace and a Johnny May original. It's called Believe.
Well, I wrote this last summer, 2016, and at the time, my wife has some health issues, and there was just kind of a hard time there over the summer where there was a lot of challenges. And so I wrote it kind of amidst that season. It's kind of a message of hope, I think, for people who are going through challenges or just need a little bit of faith.
There's no lyrics to it, right?
No, it's just piano.
Okay. It's a matter of feeling.
You can
hear the message. And
your
YouTube video has you doing this outdoors.
Yep.
Thank you.
You have so many different styles. Ronnie Allen talking to Johnny May, and at the ripe old age of 18, you became the youngest piano player ever at a certain place in Disneyland.
I was in high school, I was a senior, and I'd been studying with Johnny Hodges, who was the former Disneyland pianist, and did about 3 or 4 years of lessons with him, and I'd sit and listen to him play, you know, the Coat Corner ragtime piano. Mm-hmm. And he would do this great little thing where he would, from his stage, say, any piano players in the audience, you know? And so I'd raise my hand, and he'd go, oh, you play piano? Okay, come on up. And he'd walk down, and it was the same thing, but it was a way to get people up. It was a way to get me up and performing live. I had played at Disneyland as a guest. Well, it was my senior year, and I get a call from Johnny, and he says, hey, we need more piano players. Basically, the guys who do this are unavailable. I want to get you an audition. Can you come in next week? And I was like, sure, of course. And so I show up for my audition, and he's playing the Coat Corner piano that day. And so before my audition, which is backstage, I decide to pay him a visit. Uh-huh. And so during his set, he sees me. He says, hey, come up and play a couple tunes before your audition. So I walk up to the stage, and sit down, you know, do my ragtime. I think I played Maple Leaf Rag. And actually, I turned around after Maple Leaf Rag to leave, and he says, oh, no, play another one.
Uh-huh.
Said, oh, okay, sure. So I sit down, I play another one, the tune called Chinatown, My Chinatown. Usually I leave after one song, and I stand up, he says, oh, no, play another one. I played another one. Finally, after three tunes, I stand up and turn around, and there, lo and behold, is the hiring manager at Disneyland, you know, sitting there. And he walks up to me and he says, all right, you're hired.
Just like that?
Just like that. Oh. That was my audition.
What year was this?
2005.
Did you attend any college?
Yes, graduated high school, went to Riverside Community College, and then Cal State Fullerton.
How long did you work at Disneyland?
I started in 2005 mm-hmm. and then did 9 years, so the summer of 2014.
I think it's appropriate, since we're talking about Disneyland, to do one that you recorded, and it's on YouTube, from Disneyland. And this one is called Cruella de Vil. That's from 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, that's right.
And this one's gotten a huge number of views on YouTube. And as you listen to it, you might hear some talking in the background. That's because there were some people talking in the background. From 101 Dalmatians. Sounds like 101 fingers. Johnny May performing Cruella de Vil at Disneyland on an upright piano. And right now, Johnny, we're going to switch locations and graduate to a grand piano. This one was not done at Disneyland. In our pre-interview, I told you how much I enjoyed your combining these two standards. And I'll let you introduce them.
Babyface and False Street Rag.
Listening to that, it just occurred to me, one of my listeners, or maybe a few of my listeners, might be celebrating a birthday today, or maybe we missed their birthday, or maybe they're going to celebrate it next week. So, Johnny, please play an appropriate song. Okay, Johnny, you know my question. What was that?
Sure, that was swing music. That's like a big band, you know.
We're going to go to a song now called Ode to Joy.
Yeah, Ode to Joy, yeah. It's a very well-known classical piece.
You do it in a stride ragtime style?
Yes, I do.
This is your own arrangement of it?
Yeah, this is my arrangement. This was recorded more recently. This was in 2015. I actually recorded it over the summer, and it's a very simple melody, you know.
Right.
Bum, 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 bum. You know, and so it was another one of those I thought, man, I got to reinvent this. You know, I got to do something interesting. I've never heard this in a stride or ragtime styles. And actually, this one, Ode to Joy, was written by a German poet, Friedrich Schiller. But it was used by Beethoven and symphony.
Thank you. Oh, to joy. Oh, goodness, I like that. That's Johnny May, who is amazing. And next up, we're going to talk about an album that you did with a gentleman named Jordan Beck. The album was called Cousins. But before we get to that, I have loads of listeners out there. Some of them may be celebrating a birthday today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Is that possible? With that in mind, I think we should do something to help them celebrate. So could you play a little bit of Happy Birthday for them? Okay.
That was called Stride Piano.
And striding right along, I'm Ronnie Allen. So pleased to be talking with a person who I just got introduced to relatively recently. Thank you, YouTube, for that. And we're going to let people know how they can get in touch with you and how you could even teach them piano one-on-one, online, no matter where they are in the entire world. Now, Johnny, let's talk about you and Jordan Beck.
We recorded an album together
called Cousins, Songs of Beck
That's
and
right.
May. I know who May is. And Beck, well, it says Elizabeth Beck. Is there a relation there?
You got it. Her son, actually, my cousin, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
And we formed a writing partnership in 2007, I think. We wrote two musicals together, and we had one of them produced in New York City, and then the other one was produced at a theater, Lifehouse Theater, and then has been performed all throughout the world. It's been performed in Australia and Washington. It's a modern version of Peter Pan. And basically, we worked together up until the album, and we decided that we had written a lot of songs that weren't in musicals. They were just sort of standalone songs. And
yes.
We said, hey, we need to record these. We need to do an album. Mm-hmm. So we did a Kickstarter campaign, and we raised $12,000 to record an album. It was great. We had a little orchestra, and we brought in some Broadway performers, Todrick Hall, David Burnham, just a number of fantastic singers. Allie Trim, she was another Broadway performer. And yeah, we did this album, The Songs of Beck and May, and I arranged most of the songs. I played piano on all but one of the songs, and we wrote a really cute song called Cousins, because we're cousins. And so we sang on it. It's actually my cousin and me singing. I'm playing piano.
And I'd like our listeners to know that the two of you both sing equally on this track, trading off on lines. You start by singing, "Some people won't ever understand what we got." Then Jordan sings, "Some types of partnerships just can't be bought," etc., etc., and so forth.
Longer, peace. My cousin, you will always be.
Uh-huh.
My cousin, you will always be.
That's right.
My cousin, you will always be.
That one is available on iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
High quality digital download. How many songs on that album are there?
I think 12. Yeah, it's a full-length album.
Yeah. If you're celebrating a birthday today, I would like you to play a little bit of Happy Birthday for that listener.
Oh, sure.
That one had kind of a bassy sound. I'm not talking about Count Basie.
The bass solo.
Really?
It's a really fun effect. I crossed my hands on that. Yeah.
So it's something a little bit different. You did an exclusive one-night concert at a very prestigious place in Washington, D.C. The year was 2010.
It was the Kennedy Center.
You also performed at the Pick Stager Concert Hall, Evanston, Illinois, the Duplex, New York City, and the Gardenia in Los Angeles. So you did get around the country. And a lot of famous people critiqued your music. And one of those famous people was a gentleman named Stephen Schwartz, very well known for a couple of very popular musicals, namely, you want to say them?
Sure, yeah, of course. Yeah, Wicked, he wrote Godspell, he wrote music for Pocahontas, I think he wrote for The Prince of Egypt, for Disney. He's done a lot of big stuff.
What activities, Johnny, do you do in your spare time when you're not doing the music stuff?
We live in SoCal. There's a lot to do. I mean, you got the mountains, you got the beaches, you got Disneyland, you've got lots of stuff. I actually love to snowboard. You know, when I can get up there into the mountains, it's just beautiful.
You work out at the gym, right?
I do work out. Yeah, not as much as I'd like. But
now, anybody that watches the YouTube videos are going to be totally amazed at how fast you move your fingers. I'm going to ask you about that in just a moment, but there's something I didn't want to neglect to do because there's probably somebody out there that's celebrating a birthday, you know?
No way. You got
you don't think so? Well, yeah. The chances are, I mean, we have at least 7 million people listening to this show. I'd like you to play a little special number for that person or maybe their relative who's celebrating a birthday.
Absolutely.
That was Johnny May doing Happy Birthday. What style was that?
That's a ragtime piano.
I kind of thought it was.
It's hard to mistake ragtime.
Yeah, the musical demons. That's the ragtime.
Yep.
Now a question about your finger virtuosity. It has to be difficult to move your fingers the way you do. Are there any special exercises that you do to enable you to play both fast and accurately?
I don't do any consistent exercise. Like, when I sit down and play, I don't do, like, 10 minutes of an exercise. I did play a lot of exercises. When I was studying classical piano, I did the Hannon, I did Czerny, I did, you know, my scales, arpeggios. And that, you know, really was the foundation. When I play now, usually I'm able to sort of get up to tempo without having to do a lot of warming up. Now, I might sit down and play something slower. You know, I played at Disneyland for 9 years, and you walk up and you just start playing ragtime, and nobody wants to hear Hannon before you play ragtime.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I've mentioned Hannon on several occasions, and Hannon, I think Hannon was a sadist, actually. He wanted people to suffer.
Yeah.
So he came up with these scales that were meant to help you limber up your fingers and become proficient.
Yeah.
But, you know, not everybody loves to do them. I certainly didn't. I should have stuck with them. And Czerny's another one. Czerny also had a lot of exercises. I know we have a lot of Tom Petty fans out there, and we're going to get to a Tom Petty song in just a moment that you did your own rendition of. A very well-known song. Before we get to that, somebody out there is celebrating a special occasion, most likely a birthday. I was wondering, could you play a little birthday song for them?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bravo!
Yeah, that was like a bluesy kind of a Broadway kick line. If you ever seen a Broadway show at the very end, they do, you know, gotta big kicks.
Now, speaking of kicking, there's probably a few people out there that want to kick yours truly, Ronnie Allen, because I have given a lesson on how to run a joke into the ground, but have a lot of fun doing it. And Johnny, you've been a good sport about this, because obviously this was a planned bit. We heard you do 7 different versions of Happy Birthday, and there is a video where you have them back-to-back.
Yep.
And I just kind of felt that it would be a kind of a cute way to let people hear that. So it's a single YouTube video, and they can hear all of them together.
That's right.
I am very impressed. And now we're going to do some Free Falling. Yep, that's the Tom Petty song I was referring to. You a big Tom Petty fan?
Yeah, Tom Petty. I mean, Free Falling, the song, is a very, you know, Americana. And the piano is called a Bluesner Crystal Grand piano. It's a German brand.
Uh-huh.
Their pianos cost usually over $100,000. They look like they should be in a castle. And this piano basically looks like it's made out of glass and was used in the 2013 Grammy Awards with Ariana Grande when she performed. That was the piano that her pianist was playing.
So now you got to play it. How did that happen?
This was at a piano store. They agreed to let us record on it for a music video. So my arrangement is featured on this gorgeous piano.
What is your wife's name?
Her name's Crystal.
And you recently celebrated something very special?
We did. Her 5-year wedding anniversary. And she celebrated her birthday. So January is a very special month because it's our anniversary, it's her birthday, and it's also my birthday. I'm turning 21.
Yes, sure you are. 21, yes. I hate to tell people, but he just dropped a touchdown.
I am turning 29.
I'm 29, you're actually turning 29. Yeah. Well, actually, you dropped a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Does she play the piano?
She does, yeah. In fact, I met my wife at Disneyland. It's kind of a cool story. I did the same. After my teacher retired, I would do the same thing. I would stand up at the piano and I'd say, "Hey, any piano players in the audience?" My wife was a guest at Disneyland. She was sitting in the audience and she raised her hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited her to play, and she was very shy, but it gave me a reason to come talk to her after my my show,
right.
And we just hit it off.
You do teach piano, and you actually teach a Skype course?
Yeah, exactly. It's live video. It's like a video conversation. I put the camera on my keyboard. It's actually right above my hand, so it's like a piano lesson, and they're sitting on the other end. I do that for a limited number of students, but my website, Piano with Johnny, we have a lot of recorded piano lessons. I do lots of these video lessons where I teach, you know, how to play blues, how to play ragtime, how to play different styles. It's for all playing levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced players. So, yeah, I do both.
The website is Piano with Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y. There's no H. That's pianowithjohnny.com.
Uh-huh.
You do weddings, dinner parties.
I do.
Birthdays? I guess you do birthdays. Just visit the website and you can get in touch with Johnny. And when you do, tell him that you enjoyed this show immensely. And if you hated the birthday thing, don't tell him. Just tell him you loved it. All right. I thank you for taking the time to do this special show with me. Right now, we're going to close with a medley of 3 pop music standards, which I created from 3 of your videos. The songs are Route 66, Autumn Leaves, and Georgia on My Mind. And acronymically, that's AG, which describes a lot of what we heard in this show. The show. All of the Johnny May recordings that you heard on the show, with the exception of Cousins and Free Falling, were extracted from performance videos that you can view in their entirety on YouTube. Right now, I have two bonus tracks. These are shortened versions of two additional YouTube videos. Here's a 1935 Irving Berlin standard, written for the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers movie called Top Hat. Here's Johnny May's piano version of Cheek to Cheek. Thank you.
finally, here's a bit of the audio from the YouTube video that Johnny calls 1950s Rock and Roll Piano.